And we are back. I'm Patty Walden, your host for Your Health Connection on WCLK. Tonight, we are talking about eating well, staying active while battling cancer. Our guests are nurse practitioner Joan Giblin with the Winship Cancer Institute and Anthony A.J. Joyner, throat cancer survivor. We're waiting for you to join the conversation. You can do that live by calling 404-880-9255, or you can join us via Twitter at CCRTD. And we do have a caller. We have Philip from Atlanta. Philip, are you on the line?
I'm on the line, yes.
Wonderful. What is your question or comment?
My question was, my mom passed of breast cancer maybe six years back, and wanted to know, are cancers, like, related? Would that make me more susceptible to, like, colon cancer or prostate cancer or something of that nature?
There are some people who have things called something called Lynch syndrome, where there's multiple cancers within individuals or within families. We don't have a lot of data on that. We do know that there are breast cancer relationships, but a very small percentage of people, I think it's less than 5%, are related to breast cancer genetics that are abnormal. So if your mother had breast cancer and you were a woman, or even a man can get breast cancer as well, you're probably at slightly higher risk than the average population. But was your mother 55-ish, 50 years old when she developed breast cancer?
Actually, she was younger than that. She passed when she was 65, and I think she was like a 14-year survivor of breast cancer.
She's still around that perimenopausal age. So those are usually called sporadic breast cancers or sporadic cancers that occur from a mutation in that individual, not necessarily from something in the family. Our best advice to you is, as a man, to get the kind of screenings that you need to get a colonoscopy when you're 50. Or, you know, there's some people, the American Society of Gastroenterologists is now actually recommending that African-American men do it a little bit earlier at 45, due to the fact that they don't have as much family history generally of the cancers that some of the white populations do. So they have made some changes, and I'm not sure that's a real valid reason. But a really good reason would be to get colonoscopy, not because you're at any higher risk, but because that is the only cancer we can prevent. We can actually prevent colon cancer by doing screenings 10 years before they become a cancer and finding polyps. So I wish we had lots of cancers that were preventable. We can find them early, but we can't always prevent them. But I don't think you're probably at any higher risk than the general population.
Yeah, because I guess when I get my physical every year, my PSA levels are normal, so they don't tell me that I actually need a colonoscopy at this time. So,
well, how old are you?
46.
Not a bad idea to get one.
Okay.
If you were my son, that's what I would tell you. Just making sure that you can do whatever you can prevent. There's actually more data on that than there is on PSA screening. PSA screenings can make a lot of false positives, and there's a lot of controversy about that right now. Who should have them unless you have. There are families that have prostate cancers in them at early ages. And actually, I saw an article the other day that said that they are actually identifying something where they can find out which ones are more aggressive than others. That's the trick, to know which people are more at prone, whether it's genetic or not. If you do get prostate cancer, how many people need to get their prostates removed, or how many would live the rest of their lives and never really have a problem with it. So we're doing a lot of research on that. Like all that money that they talk about cancer research, it really is being done out there, and we are trying to identify that.
Okay. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Philip. That was great advice. Thank you, Joan.
It's a little bit of medical advice, but it is the standards medical
advice. Appreciate that. AJ, did you find out if there was any family history, like when you called your mom or grandmother to talk about your diagnosis?
The only cancer in my family was from my great-grandfather, who was a cigar smoker. I just remember that smell in his house as a kid. He had lung cancer. That's it. I'm the only person in my family.
Well, Joan, that's skipping a generation or a couple generations.
He's not a smoker.
So it doesn't matter.
It probably didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay. All right. He's got
a sporadic cancer.
Okay.
We have no explanation for it. Maybe someday we will.
Okay. Well,
that's exactly what they told me, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, maybe we have an explanation for Howard, who has a question in Atlanta. Howard, you are on the air. What is your question?
Hi. How's it doing?
Doing well. Thank
Good.
You.
Good.
Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
My question is, well, I actually had an aunt. She smoked. She passed away 5 years ago, but it got a lot of the family interested in actually doing research on trying to figure out were there different foods that could help her. And I've even heard some people say that alkaline vegetables were a better source to get certain nutrients from vegetables. So my question would be to the doctor, is there any truth in that?
Well, I'm a nurse practitioner. But there is research looking at nutrition and nutritional supplements and looking at which diets are better than others. And so far, there's been nothing strongly out there. There are people who believe that cancer is fed by sugar, so you should never eat sugar the rest of your life. Again, moderation. You don't want to be eating 5 pounds of sugar straight down your throat. But eating a few Skittles, as we just discussed, wouldn't hurt you. I don't think there's any data to that. There's lots of people out there looking at it, and there's lots of charlatans selling lots of products to people that is not based in good medicine.
Okay, yeah.
Moderation. Good vegetables. Eat your greens, eat your oranges, eat. I don't even know what vegetables are considered alkalitic. I couldn't even tell you that.
I wasn't sure either. I didn't even know that there are certain vegetables because I'm actually into fitness, and
good.
There are certain vegetables that they say that they're more alkalic for you than others. So I just was curious about that.
Well, I have to tell you that that's not my area of expertise.
Great. Thank you so much for your question. AJ, I want to get back to you and find out, how has your diagnosis helped you in your business success? We didn't even talk about what you do, but you are this digital marketing wonder. But I just wonder if that actually has pushed you to just be better and do better at everything that you do.
For me, when you're faced with your mortality, it puts everything in perspective, right? So I understand that, you know, it was very scary when they said, you know, this is really bad, right? And then when you're at your lowest point going through chemo and radiation, and at one point, you know, my tongue, because of the radiation, my tongue split. It almost like an overboiled egg where the inside of your tongue, my tongue was actually sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most pain I've ever been in my life outside of the bone marrow test when they put the needle through my back. Being in a situation where it's that, you know, it's that dire feeling, it puts everything in perspective, right? So, you know, when I have something that I want to accomplish, I'm looking at it like, you know, tomorrow's not promised.
Right.
Right. I can either sit here and, you know, watch TV all day, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I always feel like, I have a chance now to do better or to do more or to leave a legacy, right? Whereas before, I was kind of just living life, right? So now I'm thinking, and now we, you know, my wife and I have a 5-year-old. When I look at her, I'm like, man. And I know it may be a little far. My wife kind of pulls me back a little bit, but I have her, you know, we bought her a little gumball machine and we're getting ready to set it up in a friend's business so that she can start learning how to generate her own income.
Entrepreneur.
Right. So, you know, I'm waking up at, you know, 4 a.m, where I used to be a night owl, right? I would be up all night and sleep until, you know, 6, 7 a.m, then get up. Now I'm up 4:00 a.m, boom, or, you know, or 5, and I'm working, I'm going for it. And that's the perspective I have, right?
Yeah.
Life is short. And there's always someone else. Like I think back, like right now, there's someone in Winship, right? Getting, you know, radiation
treatment. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Chemo, right? Or, you know, someone's getting a blood transfusion, or someone's in treatment right now. Someone is right now vomiting because they had chemo and, you know, it's the day after, which is the worst day. Right. So having gone through that, it just puts everything into perspective, and it makes me want to actually accomplish some of the things that I set out to accomplish, if not only for my own personal satisfaction, but to set an example
right.
For my daughter and, you know, for those around me. And I also want to give back. That's another really big thing.
We see that with survivors all the time. Mm-hmm. That's probably why I really like this part of the job I'm doing right now, because I see people at the end when they're ready to take on the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And they do just that. They give back, and they become examples and to their churches, and they get more involved in things. And some of the patients come, or some of the survivors come, and they're really kind of down and out. You know, my life is a little bit different. I may have less control of my bowels. I may have, you know, not be able to swallow. And then you sit with them and talk with them about a lot of what I do is kind of that kind of counseling, mm-hmm. because just that, and get involved and go to your kid's school and the things you couldn't do before, because life is very short. And I think most caregivers who take care of cancer patients have to come to Jesus moment, mm-hmm. of what is my life all about. And, you know, people say, well, you should retire because you're old enough to retire. And why? I love mm-hmm. what I do, and it's a passion. And you obviously have a passion for life. And that's what people have to get back. Sometimes that gets knocked down.
It does.
All of that. But then becoming passionate about anything, and it could be about picking up pieces of paper from the ground. I mean, it can be anything. But the passion that people have for living life mm-hmm. after cancer is absolutely amazing. They can become more spiritual. There's rarely why me by the time you hit the survivorship part. Yeah. That's kind of in the beginning. And these people really have a great passion for living.
And I love that. I love that. I can see that you have passion for what you do.
I love what I do. Mm-hmm. I love going to work every day. There's never a day that I don't go to work loving it.
And I appreciate that you help people, that you're giving them information, and then you're making them aware. Mm-hmm. And AGI, I appreciate that. You are inspiring.
Thank you.
To the folks who are out there and who have heard your story, to whom you've told your story, to your wife, to your daughter. And I appreciate that. One of the memorable moments that I have was just a couple of months ago when we had some breast cancer survivors in here, and one of the young ladies said, I don't run away from this. I run towards it. And that really inspired me, you know, to just say, wow. Well, there are some things that I can fight now, just hearing that. But we're getting ready to head out. But I wanted to, Joan, if you could just leave three things with our listeners today regarding nutrition and exercise.
Exercise 3 times per week. That would be great. If you can't do that, try to do that. If you can exercise, if you can walk once a week or make some changes in your lifestyle where you walk at a different pace or at a different place. With diet, just go for moderation in everything. Try to decrease the amount of red meat that you eat. We just know that more lean meats and fish, et cetera, are definitely better for you. And also, don't shy away from living life to the fullest with every bit of zest that you can possibly live. You're an example as a survivor. And also as somebody who wants to prevent themselves from getting cancer. But you're an example to your children, your grandchildren, et cetera.
And AJ, what's the last thing that you would leave with? What's your pitch for folks out there?
What is your why? Right. So for me, why am I doing this? Why am I so driven now? Is it to leave an example for your daughter? Is it to help someone else? Is it to lift someone up? Is it to pull someone along? Is it to, you know, encourage or motivate someone? So
awesome.
Define your why and then
Thank
go
you.
For it.
And we've got our why. Our why is we're here at WCLK, and we're here to give you information, education, and inspiration. Thanks for listening to Your Health Connection. Join us next time. Thank you so much.
Hello, I am Dr. Shafiq Khan, Director of the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. The Cancer Center is committed to reducing the burden of prostate cancer health disparities in the African American community through research, outreach, and education. On behalf of the Cancer Center, I would like to thank you for joining us today on Your Health Connection.
Your Health Connection is made possible by funding from the National Institutes of Health and the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. For more information, please call 404-880-6878 or go to ccrtd.cau wcok.edu. If you would like to listen to this show on demand, just go to wcok.com and click on the Your Health Connection page. For Patty Walden and producers Dr. Kimberly Davis and Rob Maynard, this is Jamal Ahmed. Thanks for listening to Your Health Connection.